like start, I mean, we have to just start with opening the word, you know? And I think for me, it has to start with just being consistent in that time.
I remember one preacher saying that he read until he got something. So, you know, it's not reading for 5 minutes, not reading for an hour, but you read looking for the Lord to provide some food, some encouragement, and the fruit will flow from that. And by the way, one of those fruits is faithfulness, right?
Welcome to the Patterns of Truth podcast, the place for casual discussion of biblical principles and difficult questions that face the Christian believer. We believe that the Bible can speak to today's issues, giving us the wisdom and the courage we need for our lives. We are so glad that you are joining us, and you can always find us at patternsoftruth.org. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again at Patterns of Truth podcast. Today, we will be doing a perspective episode as we discuss a topic and try to present its different perspective to help our audience appreciate the complexity of the topic and hopefully give some guidance on how to find biblical truth in a world of misinformation and information overload. Today's question, what does it mean to be faithful Christian? Maybe you grew up in a Christian family and heard this term used often. Or maybe you're new to the faith and you're wondering how you can meet this requirement, what it seems to be the ultimate goal of all Christians. Today we have Krista, Roy, and Patricia. Welcome. So when you think of the phrase faithful Christian, what comes to mind? What's the definition of faithful Christian?
Well, the first thing I did when I saw the topic that we're going to talk about, being a faithful Christian, the first thing I did was actually look it up in the dictionary to make sure I understood what I was talking about. And that's certainly not the end of the story, but that may be a good place to start. Sometimes we use these words, you know, we have sort of an impression of what they mean, but don't really know. And the actual dictionary definition was, I thought, pretty good, because it broke it down into two parts. One might be called sort of reliability. In other words, being consistent or constant. So a person that's always doing something in a regular, reliable way, you know, is faithful. You can trust them. But it's deeper than that, and especially when you start looking at scripture. But anyway, getting back to the dictionary definition, the second part was to be true to some set of standards or goal. The actual wording might be true to the facts or the original position. So this gets closer to what we normally think about. But I think those two things need to be kept in mind when we're talking about being faithful. That of being trustworthy, we might say, something that's, you are somebody that people can trust, but also that you're trustworthy in the sense of adhering to a standard. Now, of course, in the case of Christians, we adhere to the biblical standard.
So I want to jump straight to another. What kind of misconception we have about being faithful Christians?
That if we focus on trying to be faithful,
right,
we won't actually be faithful, because we'll be focused on trying to be faithful rather than what being faithful really is. I think this is a real general problem in our Christian walk. And it relates, I think, to something we have in Galatians, where we have those two familiar passages, works of the flesh and fruit of the spirit. The fruit on a plant, of course, grows because the plant is healthy. So the real bottom line question is, how are we to be healthy? And with a plant, it's pretty easy. You have to get it the right conditions. You have to water it and you have to fertilize it. So how does that translate to our Christian life? And I think that means we have to go back to the source of our life. We have to be occupied with Christ and what he's done for us. How do we learn that? Well, the Spirit teaches us through the Word. The Lord, when he was with his disciples, just before he went to the cross. In John's gospel, he told them that the Spirit was going to be sent to them and that he would speak of, he was saying, of me, which of course is Christ. So the work of the Spirit is to magnify Christ and what he's done for us by instructing us through the word. So there has to be a simple occupation with the word. And I emphasize simple because a lot of our study in the scriptures is just that. It's study with the purpose of figuring out what is all this means. But when I say simple, I mean sitting down with it, sort of like Mary at the feet of Jesus, and simply reading it, looking for and expecting God to encourage us through it. And sometimes we might read for a while. I remember one preacher saying that he read until he got something. So, you know, it's not reading for 5 minutes, not reading for an hour, but you read, looking for the Lord to provide some food, some encouragement. And that's the kind of reading I think we can do that really helps us to enjoy the Lord. And the fruit will flow from that. And by the way, one of those fruits is faithfulness, right? So
I was just thinking about like how I love what you said, Roy, and it's so hard because we might want to work really hard, right, to be faithful or to do that list of things that we know we should do. And the list of things like comes from the scripture, right? It's there. It's not like we're making things up totally, right? But I feel like there's like this middle place where we still have to put in effort because we are fighting our flesh. Like that's the hard part. I feel like figuring out, and obviously God is going to help us with this, but figuring out like, okay, Lord, I know I have to put in more effort. I know I have to step up in some way because my flesh doesn't want me to read. The enemy doesn't want me to be around other believers. The enemy doesn't want me to listen to someone preaching from God's word. Like, and that message was given to them for me, for us, right, as a congregation. And so I know that there takes a certain measure of effort. Like, how do we find that middle place where we put in the effort, but we're not putting in so much effort where we lose sight of the person of the Lord? I feel like that's the hardest thing because I can go to a young people's conference and hear, be faithful, put in the effort, step up young people. And that's the right thing that we should hear. But then at the same time, some of us go back home and then we get depressed because we're like, man, I can't do anything, you know, and it's hard. And sometimes we unintentionally get angry at the people who set that standard for us, but they're not trying to be, you know, onerous or strict in that way. It's that we do need to step up. So where is this like middle ground where we can be balanced, where it's not a yoke, you know?
I think that is really, really a good question. And I think that's why the Lord leaves us for 70 years here, 70 odd years, so that he can take the time to teach us. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry that I'm not giving you a short answer.
I mean, it's a journey, but, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we sometimes want to rush the Lord in his work on us. I mean, there's a t-shirt or something that people wear sometimes. It says, I'm not done yet or something like that.
God's still working on me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, I think we have to at least, like, start. I mean, we have to just start with opening the word, you know, because sometimes I know I would just sit there and I'd be like, I don't even know what to read. So, oh, man, I'm going to be late. And I just go, you know, and I think for me, it has to start with just being consistent in that time. And me being, you know, I read this book. Well, my dad read it to us when we were little, called My Heart, Christ Home. You know, and there was that scene where he would meet with the Lord every day in this room. And then one day he was running late and he ran out past the room. I was like the library or something on his way out to work. And he saw the Lord sitting there waiting for him. And that always stayed with me, you know, because he's really he's faithful no matter what in all time. And he's like probably the only one who can be. He is 100% faithful regardless, you know, And I have to, maybe for me, my faithfulness is in carving out that time and making sure that I'm showing up, whether it's, you know, a couple of verses or a whole chapter or like a book that I can't stop reading about, you know. But, you know, like that's where my faithfulness comes in, is carving out the consistency. Am I going to fail? Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I could fail and be like, ah, that's it, I can't do it at all. Or I can be like, Lord, I'm sorry. And, you know, get up the next day and do it.
Mm-hmm. Roy, when you were saying, you know, being faithful, not to think about being faithful, I thought about a husband and a wife. You know, a husband would not go throughout his day thinking, oh, I need to be faithful to my wife. this is where I need to go. But like you said, when a husband enjoys his wife, or, you know, a relationship between a husband and a wife is solid and they have a good relationship, they have good companionship, you don't go to have dinner with your wife to be faithful to her, because you enjoy it, you know, you just go there because it's something delightful for both of you. It becomes natural, like you said. So I get exactly what Patricia says, and I do this all the time. And sometimes when I feel guilty that I'm not faithful, I go back and check the boxes. Oh, I helped with young people.
I did all right this week.
I'm doing good today.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that brings out the complexity and the simplicity of what we're talking about. And at the very root, I think it is simple. And it's like you say, it's delighting in Christ brings forth fruit. And part of that fruit is faithfulness. But like Krista was saying, you can't ignore the fact that we're still in the environment that we're in. And I'm not talking about sin. I was thinking about the disciples falling asleep while the Lord was praying. You know, they didn't fall asleep because they were sinners. They fell asleep because they were tired. I mean, they had spent all day in activity, and it was late at night, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. That's a wild guess. I don't know exactly. But they were tired and they fell asleep. So the Lord was sympathetic to them. You know, he recognized the weariness of the flesh. And so he's very sympathetic with us. We don't have to beat ourselves or feel guilty. But he also encourages us to be disciplined. And that's what Krista was saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, you know, we're grown people. Well, those of us who are sitting here talking about this subject are. And I can't say that for whoever will listen to this podcast, but I think part of growing up is learning to be responsible. And that's also part of walking faithfully with the Lord. He doesn't want us to be slack. After all, he's not slack. Scripture says God is not slack concerning his promises. So we should take our walk seriously. On the other hand, it's not as if we're under law or under obligation. It's a matter of trying to do what will allow the Lord to work in our lives. Let me put it that way. As far as reading is concerned, just read something, you know.
I was listening to a preacher who was saying something really similar to what you were just saying, Roy, about how this person was speaking to Christians and saying, you know, like, if we can believe that the Lord died and rose again, and he's taking care of the sin issue, right? Why do we spend so much time working in our flesh on trying to live the Christian life afterwards? That it's the same power that the Lord has to empower us to live for him. And maybe why we're hitting that wall, maybe why we're looking at those check boxes is because we're just thinking about all the things that we can do in our own strength instead of crying out. I think about the man in the gospel who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I always found that verse so interesting because he's saying two things at the same time that he believes, but then there's unbelief there. And I wonder if we can pray that prayer to the Lord and say, like, Lord, you know, I'm trying. I don't have it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. Help me. And I don't know if I don't know that if I learned or got that I should do that enough. I just maybe have always been thinking that I just need to try harder and harder instead of saying, let me stop trying. Let me just ask the Lord how he can do something in me that I know I don't have to put forth that effort every single day, even when I don't feel like it, which is difficult.
Yeah, just to add to what Patricia was saying, just another verse, Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So it's, we need even to be faithful to the Lord, we need the Lord's help.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a good point to end our recording today. Thank you so much for joining us. And would love to hear back from you if you're interested in us answering a question of yours or concern. Please submit it to patternsoftruth.org. We'll be happy to hear from you. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Patterns of Truth podcast. We invite you to join us for our next episode. And we also encourage you to check out patternsoftruth.org, where we post articles every week for the encouragement and growth of Christ followers. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to submit them on our website. I'm Peter. Until next time.